You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is radio the way it should be heard.
It starts in the ocean, and when I start my day, look slick, shower. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water, the water. Always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter. Take her swimming, you gotta. Make these opposites back up like lobsters. Indigenous warriors.
Good afternoon, dear faith and family listeners. This is Reverend Dr. Carolyn Landers Pettigrew, and today's guest is Mr. John Lambert, President and owner of Alpha Protection Systems, Inc. He's here to make our living more abundant through today's topic, cybersecurity, staying safe in an online world of computers, smartphones, and digital devices. Greetings to you, Mr. Lambert.
Greetings to you and your listeners also. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. It's beautiful out. And I haven't been out, but I'm enjoying the beautiful sun coming through the windows. How are you? How's your day going?
Same here. You know, it's a nice busy day, and it's always good to be busy, and definitely helps when it's as pretty as it is outside right now. I agree.
That's great. That's great. And it's good to be busy, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, our listeners are in for a treat. But before we continue, I want to make sure that I get all your information in. I want to talk about Alpha Protection Systems. You're an engineer, right?
That is correct. My background is actually in electronics engineering, and over time, I've spent time learning the areas of computer repair and computer science.
That's wonderful. I think we got a little budding engineer here in our house, in our little grandson, so you'll get to mentor him a little bit.
Sounds
as
good.
He grows older. Well, listen, tell us about Alpha Protection Systems, Inc., your company, when was it founded, why, what's your mission, and of course, I want to get in your contact information, how people can get in touch with you.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Alpha Protection was actually started in 1980, so we're a very old company, been around for a long time. We started off in the area of electronic security, and it's been a great journey for us. You know, we thought at that time that this was an area that African Americans needed to be, was in business for ourselves, doing things in high in technology, and that's the area that we chose to work in. Prior to starting my own company, I worked at Bell Laboratories for about 6 or 7 years. And then over time, myself and some other technical partners decided to venture out and give electronic security a try. So it's been good to us. We actually do camera systems. We monitor alarm systems. And that's a very popular thing going on these days. You know, there's
yes.
a lot of folks using like the Ring, and camera systems are coming on strong. And then we, as I pointed out, you know, once you're involved in technology, it's very much connected. A lot
yes.
of the security equipment, it began to become very computer-based. And so that began to cause us to take a look at the computer area. And maybe about 12 years ago, we actually had a problem with our own computer in the office. And we were surprised at how eager we were to get that repaired. And the cost was kind of expensive, we thought, at that time. But
mm-hmm.
Shortly after that, it's interesting how sometimes problems can move you to better things for yourself. So
that's exactly right.
Yeah, God provides problems. It seems like sometimes they help us grow. And so
that's right.
That time, we took on the attitude that we could probably repair it ourselves. After talking to the technician that worked on our computer, we learned how to repair our own computer. And so since then we've done it a lot more. And it's a great field for young people. That's the other reason why I have embraced technology. I'd love to see other young African-American individuals and really whatever culture begin to embrace it. You know, I believe that right now the young people tend to play more on the game side. And I would like to see them get more on the constructive side of things with technology.
I agree. And with this new infrastructure bill, I believe it's going to have a lot of opportunities in it for expanding the internet and getting to the site that you're wanting us to get into.
Yes, wide open. Everything is headed that way. You know, everybody is using apps these days, so that opens up a whole new area for invention and design. And it's exciting to see young folks and individuals coming up with new technology to solve problems. So,
now, for a while, or are you still doing it? You used to mentor young people in learning your area of computers.
Yes, we still have an open door policy on that. And typically, when the weather's warm, we'll get young people that will make it through the office sometime with a parent or someone else, and then they'll have an interest to spend some time in the office, and even some of the seniors have expressed an interest. So we always extend that out to others, because that's basically how I got into the business. The technician that worked on my computer was gracious enough to allow me to look over his shoulder and answer a few questions, and the rest is history. So
That's right.
we still do that.
And you had the basics, and you were willing to learn and open to solving problems, because after all, that is actually science. That's what's the problem, what's the issue, and then discovering the answers.
Absolutely. Well put. The way you just explained that, it couldn't be explained any clearer. Science allows us to solve problems, and that's what I'd love to see young people get more into, as opposed to, you'll see a lot of time right now, reactions to problems, very emotional reactions, and not always a slowing down process where you take a look and see that problem. And once again, if you look at it as an opportunity, because if you can come up with a solution or solutions, you will learn, and in today's society, possibly prosper from solving a problem that you have, and then maybe even other individuals might have.
And sharing that. I love that attitude. And we do need to be sort of missionaries of that, don't we? Not being defeated by problems, but seeing problems as a window into new opportunities and expansion and growth. That's exciting.
Yeah, kind of embracing the problem. And I've come across a couple of individuals sometime in my reading that have explained how if you embrace that problem. There was something I was reading the other day. We're talking about mistakes and how people took mistakes and turned them into profits. I think I was reading an issue on how fiberglass, you know, how you see that pink fiberglass installation. And
yes,
as I read their article, it explained, and I never knew that, at first they made the insulation by accident. They were making glass, cutting it into very fine pieces, and found out that made a good insulator, and they could get tons of it. They could take a marble and end up with a bag of this insulation. But the twist on the story was they tried to paint it red at one time. They wanted this insulation to be red for the contractors. And by accident, it came out pink. And that's just the stuff that we see, all of us see today. And so at one point, they apologized to the manufacturers. And they're like, hey, listen, we're sorry about that. We'd like to make it red, so give us a chance the next time. And it turned out the contractors loved the pink for whatever reason. So here's a problem, and you look at it today, all the insulation that we buy today is pink. So
very, yes, and it solved a problem, helps all of us stay warm and cool. And
there you go.
It's exciting and makes money. So
the pink is not a problem.
It's wonderful. Well, you have a really exciting story and a wonderful attitude to pass on to everyone that you meet. And I think in this day and age, we certainly need it. But before we move on to cybersecurity, I want to make sure that we get your contact information out there. So where are you located? What is your phone and what's your email? In other words, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. The name of the company, of course, is Alpha Protection Systems. And we're located at 1041 East Hudson Street, right here in the north end of Columbus. And you can reach us at 614-236-3310. And, of course, our email, if you decide to go that route, is very simply alphaprotection@yahoo.com.
Okay, that's 236-3310, you're at 1041 East Hudson, and
yes.
It's alphaprotection@yahoo.com or Alpha Protection Systems.
That's going to be alphaprotection@yahoo.com.
Perfect, perfect. I wanted to get that out there. Well, as we talk about computers, smartphones, and digital devices, first I want to start with computers.
Okay.
But before that, I want to ask you, what is your definition of cybersecurity?
Okay, cybersecurity, you know, and they use that word cyber because it's not necessarily like a motion sensor or a door sensor that you would have in a physical world where you're trying to protect yourself from people breaking in. Cyber is using the word that is technical. It can be even as easy as a conversation, let alone someone making contact on your computer
and doing
malicious items. So when we say cyber, we're talking in that world that's not so physical.
Yes, yes. Sort of the out there world, the non-physical world. But you know it's there. You can't see it, but you experience it, and you benefit from it, and sometimes you have to be protected from it.
Absolutely. We're all connected to it, and we're in a time now where you need a computer or at least a relationship with the Internet to even make reservations for a plane flight these days. So, so everyone has to do it. And, of course, whenever you're using something that's so much, there's individuals that try to figure out ways to abuse that thing that we're using.
Yeah.
And then that's where you come up with this area of cybersecurity.
And so in terms of computers, what are some of the security issues that my listeners and I should be aware of?
Great question. And I'll try to keep it very simple.
Okay.
The number one problem that happens on in computers is that you have a hard time on knowing what is real and what is not real.
Mm-hmm.
In a physical world, it's pretty easy for you to drive past a store or meet the owner or have his phone number and know you can reach them in an hour or 2 hours or a day later if you need to. In the cyber world, this world allows people to put together things that are not necessarily real or tangible, though you can touch them and find them easily. And actually, on purpose, a lot of things are hidden in the cyber world. You know, I guess there is a comparison in the real world also because there's camouflage. There's reasons why we do hide things even in the physical world. But in the cyber world, that is so easily done, you know, because of the nature of the cyber world. You know, a lot of it is manufactured. You know, we're using electrons and TV screens to give images of things, which are not the real thing, but just
not
a representation.
The real thing.
The challenge is for you to know that, number one, when you turn this tool on, to recognize that everything that might come through to you on this tool doesn't have to be the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
that
includes everything on the screen from the moment you turn it on. So there's some responsibility on the user to begin to get an understanding on when this tool, and that might be a good way to reference it, is in its best and healthiest state, and then also when you do use it, to recognize that maybe it's not absolutely accurate in some areas. You might need to cross-reference it and use other tools with it to verify that what you're trying to do is actually what you're trying to get done.
Well, you know, my husband's favorite question, when you tell him something, he said, well, just what I want to know, is it true? And you just mentioned that, the truth.
Yes.
Is it true? You know, the other day, the pastor, we attend a parking lot church for now because our church is not open yet, and I'm retired clergy. And we get a weekly email, and suddenly I clicked on my email, and it was from the church secretary, and she was saying, if you have gotten a email from someone saying that the pastor wants your help, saying that it's from the pastor, she says, it is not from him. It's a scam. And then she wrote that in big red letters. And that was the issue, that someone had hidden their real identity behind the pastor's identity, and was asking for monetary help as if it were the pastor.
Wow. That's scary. When you look at people that, and a lot of us can get rused or tricked by that type of a thing, what will happen to you is people will send email to you that makes promises or seems like people that we know or using names that we know. Typically, when that happens, that's the situation where somebody may have hacked into your email. So you, let me give you a very practical reason on how that happens, and this might help your listeners a lot. I'm going to use the analogy of like when you go fishing. All right. So when we go fishing, you can look at it on one side of the coin that we're serving these worms to the fish. We'll get a bag of worms and we're about to serve them to the fish. You know, to the fish, that's what it looks like. All of a sudden, a worm shows up in the water and the fish is familiar with worms and he's like rushes to eat it. And of course, he bites that worm and there's a hook in it. Well, the same thing happens on the internet. People will use the word. They'll use the word free instead of a physical worm on the internet. The word free is used very, very, very freely.
Okay.
No pun intended. And what they're trying to do is to first get your attention and go, hey, listen, look at me. I've got something over here for you. I've got a worm. I've got something you want. And then it's free when they keep saying free. And then first you're going to be a little suspicious. You're going to ask me for some money. You're going to ask me for, you know, something of value like that. So typically what they'll ask you for is, no, we don't need any of that. Just give me an email. You know, just give me your email.
Okay.
And what they're hoping at that point is that you will put an email in that you use often. Okay. There's the first problem. So they've got your email. The next thing they might have you to do is they might offer you some other free things and say, hey, listen, when you are using my free thing, you need to make up a password or get yourself some passwords so you can use it. And in a lot of simple cases like that, they're hoping maybe you use the same password, and many of us do, that you use on your email. So if you're not thinking right at that point, you just gave somebody total access to possibly your banking or your whatever, and you're not thinking like that. You're
thinking of this
free thing that you're getting, and you're thinking, hey, it didn't cost me any money, and especially if what you're getting is exciting and free, there you go. You're going to download whatever they ask you to download, and then there's the second level of bad things that can happen. The moment someone gets you to download or to bring something into your computer on your own, you're basically telling the computer, hey, listen, I want this. I need this. And if the computer doesn't have a sufficient protection on it, you would have just infected your own computer at that moment. So if I tried to make that as simple as I could so you can can understand, it's almost that simple as using a worm to trick a fish. You know, I that's why I try to use that analogy very simple.
Yes, yes. Well, is that what they call you use the fish? And they use a word in terms of the email, phishing, phishing.
Phishing, yes, something similar to that. And
similar to
again,
that.
Not to overwhelm your listeners. The main thing that to understand is that everything is not going to be as it's presented. And you can understand the reasons why, because there are people trying to advance their own purposes. You know, trying to make money. So what you want to be aware of is the moment somebody says the word free, that's when my antenna first goes up.
Okay.
I'm thinking it's already too good to be true. And then the first reason what you need to consider someone a liar, the moment they ask you for your email, now you're dealing with a person who is disingenuous because they've already told you. First, they told you it was free. And with the knowledge that I have, the moment you asked me for my email, free just went out the window. So I do not trust you. You'd be better off dealing with me saying, I'll give you these items, and what we will need is your email, and we may send offers to you, or we may want to revisit you later on, just being honest. And so your listeners need to begin to deal with the cyber individuals just like you would deal with individuals that walked up on in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
We all kind of demand that people be honest with us, and the moment they betray that honesty, you begin to deal with that person in the physical world differently every time they show up or when they approach. We need to take that same attitude to the virtual world.
So it's okay to be suspicious.
Oh, yes.
And absolutely. It's one of the things I would gather out of this is never, just like on the phone, never give your email information or personal information through your email, no matter what they say. And you're also saying be careful about downloading information. Make sure you know it's a trustworthy source.
Very, very true. You, the customers that I do most of the work on in the shop here when I'm cleaning up viruses come from people downloading free things. I can, the kids, if you have kids around them, they'll, there's a Roblox is the name of this program that the kids love to play. And any of your listeners, if your kids are playing with Roblox, which you need to understand that Roblox kind of looks like a kid game, but it typically can have adults on it also. Maybe kind of pretending to be kids. And what they're trying to do is to get your young person to maybe download something on that machine or give up a password or whatever, you know, because the kids don't know. And they're having a fun experience, once again, like the analogy of the worm. They're getting free games and free this and free pictures and free music and all types of things. So that's why, even at an early age, if you use Roblox as a teaching tool, you can actually begin to empower your young person to let them know that everything that's free is not necessarily good. And then the other thing is that I always tell my customers, I wouldn't allow a young person to be on any computer that I really use for business type things or important things. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't let them be on it because they don't have the skill set to be as safe as need to be.
That's
the harsh reality. It'd be better to give them their own computer, and if they mess that up, you know, you haven't messed up the whole household.
Well, two things. Would you spell that Robolot? Is it Robolot? Is that what you're saying?
Robolox, something like R-O-B-L-O-X. I don't pay it a lot.
Oh, I see. Locks. Okay, I see.
Yeah, something like, yeah.
So and, that's and important again, for our listeners to know, to check and see if their young people are using that, because what I don't like as an adult is knowing that it looks like a kid's game. That's what you're saying. Is it true? No, it's not true. It's a fake because adults are on it pretending to be kids. That's dangerous. That opens up children to all kinds of things.
Very dangerous. So once again, the teachable moment is that young people are going to want to use your phone or a computer super excited. And that's when you take time to slow them down, to let them know what they're actually doing and how powerful it is, but also how dangerous it is.
And do not give out your personal information, your passwords, or any kind of physical contact information where a person might be able to locate you.
Right.
Because I can see that could open up young people to sex trafficking as well as financial fraud, you know, if they tried to pay for something. The question, as we were talking, I was thinking about protection. Do they put virus protection programs on computers anymore, and do they help protect you a little bit from yourself?
That's a great question, because you're asking all the right questions. There's still a lot of virus protection software out here and out there. You can get some for free. You can buy virus protection programs. But my philosophy here about virus protection programs is I think of them like seatbelts. So if you think about every car that you have has protection in it from accidents, you know, airbags, seatbelts, a variety of things. But at the end of the day, if you are careless with that car, we've seen Tiger Woods, and we know he can afford any car he wants, but he got hurt in his car because even the safety things in there, if you do certain things and you exceed the ability of that safety program or virus protection to protect you, you're going to get infected. Your machine will get infected. In the physical world, you'll have an accident. You can be hurt. So I say more so than buying virus protection, I would educate myself.
Yeah,
and I would be aware that like if you're going to the library or to the bank or those places only with your computer, I doubt if your computer would ever get affected.
Uh-huh.
You know, but on the other hand, if every time you sit down at your computer, you're going to go to YouTube and you're going to go download the free this and download the free that and any willy-nilly site that anybody sends to you, I'd say you probably have a high probability that your machine's going to get affected.
And it's going to crash and need you. They'll have to come to Alpha Protection System.
Right. So I have some customers that almost never have any problems, and especially if they're honest with me. My customers that look at things that would cause a computer to get into trouble, they're honest with me. So in those cases, cases, I can advise them, and this is one thing, I guess this is not get too sophisticated, there are other operating systems that you can use to do this, have this computing experience.
They mm-hmm. need to come to you to find out those
yes.
other systems.
Yes, because most of us are very familiar with the PCs and Macs. That's what we are most familiar with. And so if you look at which ones catch more viruses, typically PCs get more viruses than Macs, but even Macs can get infected. And so that's what I would, you need to begin to understand that. So say you're doing risky type things, you might tend to do that on your Mac or a program called Ubuntu. There's an unusual program out there. If your listeners wanted to look into something that's free, but very interesting, and especially for young people, I would look into Ubuntu. It's a free program, and it's an operating system, and it's put together by individuals like ourselves that have the skills to put an operating system together. And it's just a little more difficult for the hackers to hack. Why?
Okay.
They're not familiar with it. You know, with the PCs, they're all very familiar with PCs, so that's why they hack those the most often. So.
Well, that's good to know. And if they want to know more information about these, what would they be, alternative operational
yeah.
systems tech for technology
yeah.
for your computer, they can contact you and come
yeah.
in and talk to you about that.
Yeah, we'd be happy to share that with the listeners. And what I do at Ubuntu, I use that most often for all my browsing because I don't want to mess up my PC, my Windows program, because I use that for work.
Okay.
So if I'm there just messing around, I use the Ubuntu program or my Mac, you know, and then I feel a little safer because, once again, it's more work for the hackers to hack into your computer on certain
okay.
systems. And unfortunately, PCs, which are the most popular, Windows is the most popular system, the hackers have gotten kind of good with hacking at it, and that's just the reality of it. You know, I'm not saying it's a worse system or a weaker system, but it does require us to be a little more vigilant on how we're using it.
And they've been around longer. Isn't that a part of it, too?
Oh, without question. Yeah, without question. And they've got some very neat things that we're all kind of spoiled to using and love using, and so that's kind of the way the world is.
Well, that we could talk all day just on computers, but for a few minutes before we go to break, smartphones.
Yeah.
What's one or two things that can happen to smartphones that you need cybersecurity, need to be more safe about?
Sure. Most smartphones, when we're mentioning them once again, they're going to be closer to related to like being a Mac-type computer, so they're going to be a little more secure than maybe a PC.
Oh, good.
But at the same token, though, you've got passwords on there that you can allow people to get their hands on. You're allowed to download these things called apps or applications.
So once again,
you have to be careful about the apps you download onto a computer, because an app is basically a program that, in the best of all times, it brings some convenience or solves some problem for you when you get it on your computer. In the worst case, you could download an app that really did more spying on you. We use
mm-hmm.
more spying. They typically
mm-hmm.
want to know what you're about to buy, what you're
mm-hmm.
curious about.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get information on you so that they can maybe resell it. And typically, the worst thing that happens in both cases on computers or on your phone is it might be a rookie app, someone that's trying to get this information, and maybe they built this product so poorly that that's what ends up messing your machine up. You know, their
okay.
effort to... To take a little information is so poorly crafted that begins to cause your machine problems.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that about apps. It seems that almost every when you shop or whatever, they want
yeah.
you to get the app. And my daughter mm-hmm. is into computers and technology and all now,
mm-hmm.
and she just said, no, don't do it. That's just her answer. Nope, don't do it. And so I don't have any apps on my phone. But I can see why she says that. She's, you know, you have to be careful with that.
You have to be careful. That's what my cousin is indicating to you. And so there's a balance. I'm a heavy app user, and there's a lot of apps that I think everybody has to have, you know, because they're just so well-crafted and well-put-together. So once again, that's what you'd want to do. You'd want to either engage yourself in a forum with people you trust, or like your daughter, who's technically savvy and talk to her about the apps that are decent. You know, basically those apps that help us drive around on the highway, the mapping apps. You know, those are pretty invaluable these days. As opposed to, I don't know what I'd have to do if I had to pull out a map these days and have to look at a physical map and try to get somewhere.
Yes.
I'd be so wore out. You know, but now we have these apps that all you got to do is put the address in there and it tells you where the road work is happening and if there's a slowed down traffic. So apps are not all bad.
No, they're not all bad. And what you're saying is know which ones are for you based on your lifestyle, and then based upon lifestyle, then select the ones that have the best reputation, safer, and can lead to less risk, is what you're saying.
Yeah, a great tool for your listeners only would be use Google. Say you come across someone tells you about an app that's supposed to be great.
Okay.
I'd put the name of that app in Google, and I would go reviews. And what will happen is people love telling you about something when it's good, but they also love telling you about it when it's bad. So you put that thing in Google and then look at the information that comes back. Then it, once again, it's on you to kind of weigh what you read and make a decision, you know, on whether the earth is flat or round.
Okay. I love that. So apps are not all bad, but you have a way to test the valuable or the safety, I would say, the safety of an app by putting the name of it in Google. And then seeing what people say about it and then evaluating that.
Right. You look at the responses and then you use your logical brain. God has given us a great mind and a tool for evaluating things. And like I said, once again, if someone uses the word free and then they ask you for your email or something, well, there's value on that. So they just violated a rule. You know, to me, you have to be conscious and recognize the person talking to you right now is not 100% honest. I'm not going to say they're the worst person on the planet, but they should be honest with you. Like, hey, listen, if you give me this email of yours, it's valuable. So it's not totally free. So I like for folks that we deal with to be honest.
That's it. That is it, to be honest. And because of my lifestyle as a retired person, I don't need a lot of these shopping apps and different things.
No.
But as a professional person, I can see that you would need them, but you need to test them and make sure they're safe. And I like the idea of putting the app name in Google. Well, for just a few minutes, we have to take a break, and we'll be right back.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there, and we'll be right back on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? Just clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years... Smokey's Only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something serious. I know you love me, I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
For the class of 07, finishing high school can be a struggle.
I sort of got messed up into gangs and other stuff.
There are struggles in the classroom and out of it.
I bounced from like foster home to foster home.
But even with all the obstacles in their way, they want to graduate.
It would just make the entire family proud to know that one of us actually made it.
Introducing the class of 07, 10 films by 10 students across the nation trying to graduate. Go to boostup.org to see their stories. High school is hard. Graduating is harder. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Well, welcome back, listeners. We're talking with our guest, John Lambert, president and owner of Alpha Protection Systems, Inc., and we're learning a great deal about cybersecurity. We've talked about computers. We've talked a little about smartphones. And, you know, the thing I say, if you have questions and you want a more in-depth conversation, call John, email John, drop by and see John and talk with him some more. He's got some wonderful information for you that will help you, and his customers love him, and he saves the day all the time regarding their computers, smartphones, and digital devices. But, you know, I want to, John, go to, for a brief moment here, digital devices. I was doing some reading. We had that on there, and I thought, what are digital devices?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're still. It's just another word for talking about the computers and the phones and things that we have when we start using that word. Digital. The way to think about the word digital, we are when we're working with computers, we live more in an analog world. When I say analog, the professor explained to me once. The difference between an analog clock and a digital clock, the analog clock has that hand that sweeps around, you know, and goes around the entire clock face, and it doesn't miss any of those points. It touches each and every point as it goes around that clock face. That's the analog world. In the digital world, we only take a sampling, and that's why we leave some things out. So when you're talking about a digital world, it's just the way we talk to computers. Computers live in a digital world, and so the programmers figure out a way to allow our two worlds to come together. So to us, the color blue looks like blue to us, but to a computer, it looks like a series of numbers. If you could look into a computer's brain, you see blue would be, and in the shades of blue would be these different numbers. And so when we're using the word digital world, we're talking about anything really that it's got these computer-type thinking in it, and that's necessary for us to be able to accomplish the things we want to accomplish. We need a way of talking to these devices because they don't talk like we talk, and they don't think. You know, it's kind of funny to me when you see the those talking programs, the ones I can't call her name, and I don't really know.
I was just going to list some tablets, the Apple Watches, Alexis.
Yeah, they all kind of talk to Alexis. You know, what I wanted to say is, if you've had an Alexis experience or talking to any of this stuff, sometimes they do a pretty good job. There are other times when it's like you're talking to a rock.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a computer program, and what it's really doing is kind of guessing. You know, it hears what you say, and it comes into it as numbers. It looks at those numbers, and then it's got a place where it looks for the proper response if those numbers fall within a certain range. So what feels like a conversation with an individual is really you're interacting with a program, you know what I'm saying? This is doing math calculations. So you need to understand that when you're working with a computer, and then you have to adjust your response to that data that you're getting, because a lot of times you've heard junk in, junk out. Well, that's very true with the computer world, even using Google. If you put the wrong words or you don't choose your words properly when you're Googling something, you could easily take yourself up a road that's not even close to what you're trying to do, if that makes sense. You need
it
to really ask
questions. It does make a lot of sense. You end up where you were in a place that was not your destination.
Yes, by not asking a well thought about question.
That's
if you become
right.
I consider a Google expert, you begin to ask really good questions. And
yes.
by asking those good questions, the computer does its best, as honest as it can, to guess the options, and it presents them to you. And then your final choice, using your mind, is to pick the best option that is presented to you. And it's not always the first one. I should say that to your listeners. Some people think that when you Google something or you ask that question, it's the very first thing that shows up is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is not necessarily the case. You, the user, still have a responsibility, you know, to get in there and make sure that the options presented to you are the option, as you said earlier, that best fit your particular case.
Yes. Yes, nothing is going to keep us from having to take personal responsibility or thinking, is it?
Very
we're going
true.
To have to think, and we're going to take personal responsibility.
Yeah, that sounds like your pastoral advice. Well taken. I heard it, and I take it.
Yes. You know, so the same things that happen to computers and smartphones then are the same things that can make tablets, watches, Apple watches or other digital watches, Alexas, things like that, unsafe.
That's
are open
correct.
To the same kind of scams and problems.
Absolutely, because these are all dealing with human beings. So if you look at the scams and the problems, they're typically brought on by individuals with different motivations. There are very few people, I think, that just want to get on your computer and just mess it up just to mess it up.
Okay.
But typically you'll find people trying to get some financial advantage, and that's what most of it is. So if you look, you should ask yourself the question, whenever somebody says something is free, very first question is, why is that free? Why do you want my email? What is it?
Yes.
And then you can even ask them straight up, you know. The best question is when they least think about it. Someone that calls you on the phone, you know, everybody's getting these phone calls these
days.
Oh,
it's terrible.
Yeah, so what you should do with those people, I let them talk, you know, for a moment, and I'm listening to them. And what I begin to realize sometimes, I'm like, wow, they're very inconsiderate. I'm like, I said this the other day, I said, they don't really care if I was busy helping with my child or my mom.
No, no.
So I started taking that in. I'm like, so if this was a person in the physical world, this is probably somebody I don't want to deal with, you know what I'm saying? Because they're very aggressive for a purpose of their own, you know, calling. So I use that same technique in this cyber world and with the phone calls. Just use the brain that God has given you and recognize when someone's being considerate and when they're being honest. You can feel it, and you can feel when somebody's over-aggressive, don't want you to think, don't want to give you no time, don't talk to nobody, sign right now, say yes,
those
say yes.
Those are scams. Those are symptoms of scams.
Right, and you have the right not to be bothered with that, and that's what you have to get back in your spirit. You know, some of us are so nice, you know, and I think I was guilty of that sometimes. You almost will just go along with things with people that are actually abusing you, if, you know, when you really need to hang up on them.
You do. And a couple of things I wanted to say in response to that. I was reading about this ID spoofing, and then I understood it more. My husband and I have been very astounded. I might be upstairs and he's downstairs, And all of a sudden, there's a call from his name. Well, I know that he's probably outside walking Atala, and he isn't calling me. Well, they have spoofed what they call ID spoofing. They have the technology to put anybody's phone number in the phone.
Wow. That's a very interesting topic right there of its own. What you'll
of
find
its
is
own.
Oh, my God, those phone numbers that come to you, and sometime I'll do that. If I get a chance, I'll put them on hold. And if I have another phone nearby, call that very number they just called you from. And what will happen is you will never be able to reach them through that number.
Yes.
So the other side of that is just when you talk to them, to ask them, say, will I be able to call you back? I'm busy right now. And the moment they go, no, no, I'll call you back, or no, no, they're letting you know, I'm calling you from a fake number.
Yes.
This is not real. And everybody telling you that they're Microsoft or we're this, that, and the
yes.
other person.
Or the IRS or whatever.
Yeah, if you really are that person, give me your number and I'll call you back. And typically, they will never give you a number. They'll be upset with you at that point. But once again, if you're using these type of techniques to find out who it is you're talking to, you'll normally be able to use your own brain. You don't need a specialist like me to tell. You're dealing with somebody that's disingenuous.
Well, the thing, too, you were talking about politeness. One of the things I was reading they were saying about seniors, why they try to scam seniors, because many seniors, and I am a senior, have a nest egg they want to attack.
Yeah.
Excellent credit, raised to be polite. You were mentioning that, and trusting.
Yeah.
And don't know where to report fraud. And I know myself, I've gotten over it years ago, but when someone would call, I knew they were scamming me, but if it was the sound of a young man's voice trying to earn a living or whatever, well, I'd have empathy because I had a young son. He was doing well, but I would say, oh, well, I didn't want to be mean to him. Well, I got over that because I was getting too many of these scam calls. And I realized they didn't mean me any good. My son loves me. They didn't care anything about me.
Absolutely.
And one of the things they said is that many seniors are afraid to report, the fraud and the things. But we shouldn't be afraid to track down some of these places that these frauds are coming from.
I can give you an example. I had one of my seniors, maybe it's been several months ago, but he lost $500 overnight. I had spoke to him earlier that day working with him on his computer. Then at some point, he answers a call to some scammers, and they get him on the phone, and all they want to do is make you think they're your friend and your buddy.
Yes.
Did that to him. They got him to download some stuff on his computer, and the next thing you know, they're locking his computer up. And they took $500 from him so quick.
Yeah.
So lucky for him, we were able to work with him in his bank, and we got that money back. But,
oh, you did? How did that happen?
Well, luckily for him, he didn't sign anything for this money.
Okay.
So basically, they kind of talked him into this, and that the bank was at least gracious enough to give him a break since he did not sign anything. But that's not a guarantee. That doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't.
Then they got complicated scams. They'll do that. They'll ask you to go and get one of those credit cards like you can get from the grocery store.
And they said gift cards.
Gift cards. So that's an absolute sign for any of your seniors listening. Anybody that's trying to put you through that, and they won't want you to talk to any of the young people around you. They won't want anyone else involved in this except for you and them. Those should be your signs that you need to get some help. And anytime anybody's pressuring you as a senior, I mean, those are just not a good option.
Well, that was one of the earmarks of phone scams. They said that they're very aggressive, and they may call saying a grandchild or someone needs help, and the listener is very confused, and they pressure you for money, for gift cards, and that sort of thing. And we just have to learn to be impolite, but in their case, we're being appropriate and just hang up.
Being appropriate, that's a very good way of putting it. And I'm glad that we discussed this out loud, because it is something that seniors from our generation would have to begin to understand.
Yes.
Those people are really playing on your politeness. They're counting on you not being able to be rude. Even the ones that might not be sincere, they're calling for the police department. They're calling, want to get you to give money, or you don't know if these people are really calling to give money to the police organization. So, but you feel guilty because you know the hard work that the real police officers do for us, that you do want to support them. But once
that has disappointed me recently, because for years, the calls for raising money for fire and for police department were local, and they were people, and you would give, and you were glad to give. But recently, I've been getting these calls, and it's you answer, and it's a robo call. Somebody first, it's a human being, and then they say, "Oh, just a minute, are you there?" And then they punch the recording, and then they ask you. They suggest a range of donations, and you say yes. Hold the line now. Someone's going to come and get your address and phone. And as soon as they do that, I hang up. So then they call back, and they said, "Are you there?" I said, "Yes, I'm here." And I told my husband, I said, "Wow, you're trying to get money from me, but you're being rude, like you're being aggressive, like don't go anywhere, you know, stay on the line." So I said, "Yes, I'm here." And as soon as you got to the same part of transferring me to the person that's going to get my credit card number and all of that, I hang up. And so that's been very disappointing, because you want to support your community organizations, but you don't want to feel like you're being scammed. So they need to look into another way.
I love the way you dealt with that also. You were very open to it. I could tell that you were open to helping them, but what your sixth sense told you was that they were being very rude, and that's how you can kind of tell they're disingenuous, because I believe anyone really trying to raise money for the police department and the fire department, they would never be that rude.
They wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Or demand, you know, that you stay there.
No, I wouldn't. And I think they would be considered, recognized that all seniors can't afford to help. You know,
we might
have to support them some other way. So I love the way you explain it, and I hope any of your seniors that are listening understand that it's okay to, you don't have to be nasty about these calls, but you need to be firm about.
You need to be firm, and you can find other ways. You can find, if you want to give to something, you can find another way to give to get your money there without going through this kind of scam that is going to try to get all of your information over the phone. There are other ways. If you have a pet project you love to donate to, you can do that in other ways.
Without question.
Well, you know, I just briefly, we're having such a good time. I hope our listeners are learning a lot and enjoying it, and know that they can come to you and talk to you and email you about any of their questions that come out of this conversation. But I was also, I ran across the phrase, practice safe browsing. What does that mean? Cyber criminals use lurid content as bait.
That's a great, that's a great way of putting it. Yeah, browsing is the word we use when we're kind of using Google or even YouTube. I consider internet browsing, where you're kind of looking around. And what you need to be aware of is that it happens to me. It happens to all of us. Every now and then, things are going to catch your attention. Every so often, I'd find myself on the computer, and I would browse and look. And one day, I caught myself, and I'm like, you know what? Who is showing me this stuff? I really hadn't looked at it closely.
Mm-hmm.
And as I looked down at the bottom, I recognized this name that had a weird name. It almost sounded like a fun, like a silly name.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hit me. I'm like, this is not NASA putting these pictures up here for Mars.
Okay.
And so the browser, what I was looking at was somebody that had content, and what they were doing is they were probably making up the content about the little dots and little things they were showing on Mars to pull the hits in. And of course, there's thousands of people like myself that were going to this site, pushing this person's site up, like, with attention. Because if you get enough listeners or people coming to your site in this cyber world, advertisers will contact you and sometimes give you a little money.
Yes, it's a way of making money.
Right. So that's what you have to be aware of. So even here I am, your computer guy, I had to slow myself down because I had already bit the bait. You know, the worm was there. I'm very curious about science, so it intrigued me that they're on Mars and there's these other things flying around in the atmosphere of Mars, until I slowed down and I was like, listen, they haven't said this on the Channel 6 News 10 or 4. Nobody else is talking about this except for this content I'm looking at. And that's when I
you
slowed
know,
down.
Ben, you've given me a warning and our listeners also, because it's okay to browse, but safely.
Yeah.
You know, you could start off like at NASA, a site of NASA, and as you click on different stories,
there you go.
Then you have to watch, is this taking you then to a site that you don't want to hear from and you don't want to support?
Right. Similar content, but not even the same provider.
You have to watch, see who's sponsoring it, and it will always tell you who's sponsoring it. Yes.
There you go. And that is critical. We have to slow down because we all get excited on a computer. That's the one thing about being a consumer. We get so excited sometimes, myself included, that we move before we think. And a lot of times folks selling us things take advantage of that, you know, that feature.
That's important. That's really so important. Well, you know, I can't believe it, but our time is drawing to a close.
It goes so fast.
Cousin John, we have such excellent conversations when we're not on the radio.
We don't hold any punches. So
that's right. We enjoy talking to each other.
It's still sharp as steel, though, cuz. So I love that.
Yes. Well, listeners, family, faith and family listeners, we love you, and we're so glad that you've been here with us today. And as I've told you, you're with my cousin, John Lambert, president and owner of Alpha Protection Systems, Inc.
Yes.
And tell us again your contact information.
Yes, ma'am, cuz. Yeah, you can reach us easily at 614-236-3310. That's the phone number. And also on the email, you can reach us at alphaprotection@yahoo.com. Those are the two easy ways to reach us. Our shop is located here at 1041 East Hudson Street here in Columbus, Ohio, in the North End. So, yeah, we definitely enjoy talking with your listeners and you, cuz, and invite us back anytime.
Oh, we will. We surely will. So thank you so much. You've been helping our listeners to live more abundantly through cybersecurity today. And now I'm going to go into our closing words. So we'll see you next time. Listeners, join us. And we're so glad to have been with John Lambert. And now we go into our closing words.
Okay.
God should be the center of our lives. And these are thoughts by the wisdom of Hildegard of Bingen. Hildegard of Bingen. She's a medieval nun, and she wrote beautiful wisdom about our relationship with God. And we've been talking today about cybersecurity, and we clearly see that when people are trying to scam us, another thing is the center of their world. And so these words of wisdom, God should be the center of our lives. God created human beings to be full of light, so that they could see the radiance of pure ether and hear the songs of the angels. God clothed humanity in such radiance that it shone in splendor. But all of this was lost when human beings disobeyed God's commandment and brought about the fall of nature as well as themselves. Yet the natural elements retained a glimmering of their former pristine state, which human beings could not destroy completely. For this reason, people should retain a glimmering of their knowledge of God. They should all allow God to return to the center of their lives, recognizing that they owe their very existence to no one else save God alone, who is the creator of all. Thank you for listening.
So when is this? it start?
It starts in the ocean. And when I start my day, looks slick, shower. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter. Take her swimming, you gotta make these opposites back up like lobsters. Indigenous warriors, we warrior up for water. Catch California slipping? Never. Let's say imposters, you already know. Cali mountaintops with snow. The Sierras in the Rockies. Snowboarding in the winter, surfing in the summer, feeling so cocky. I'm riding. We'll hit you with the super soaker. Life's got ups and downs like a roller coaster.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.